It's now time for the return of Jeff Hathorn. We're very excited about this. Jeff has been on vacation. And how are you? Look at him. He's rested. You look tan. I don't even know if, were you doing a staycation or did you go somewhere exotic, Jeff?
We went to Arizona.
Nice.
It's a dry heat, Doran.
Dry heat.
And we did a whole bunch of hikes. So actually, except for like the last day, it only climbed into 70. We went up to Sedona and the Grand Canyon and it was awesome.
That's better, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you're hiking in that heat, man, there's no way. But it was, I mean, you get up and it's like 50 degrees. It was nice. I mean, I never would have thought I would have needed so many warm clothes in Arizona. Because you think Arizona, it's 107. But it was cool.
Heard it gets very cold at night, too, in those desert climates, Jeff.
It does. It does. But it's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. It's cool. I mean, you don't realize how much there is to that state. You think, again, about all the heat, but man, up around the Grand Canyon, Red Rock, all that stuff, it's just gorgeous.
Is the Grand Canyon cool? Be honest.
It's, I don't know how to describe it. Like, we walked halfway down it, and just to look around, like, it's just, it's something you have to see. You can't describe. It's worth going. Like, take the kids, both of you, not right now, like when they're a little older, because you look at it and you're like, damn.
I'm going to wait till they're old enough and they can take me. They're going to pay for my trip to the Grand Canyon. Doran, are you trying to imply Grand Canyon overrated? Is that where you're coming?
I've never been up
that tree? Grand Canyon overrated?
I just envision it being like some big crater, you know, just like a big hole. Like, is there any rides?
How many big holes do you see?
Do they have an incline in the Grand Canyon? Like, what?
There are no Ferris wheels or roller coasters but it's cool.
All right. Jeff with us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jeff, I mean, you should leave town. I don't really mean this, but you leave town permanently because oh my God, all the stuff goes down. And let's start with Donnie Kelly now, who is the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I've liked what I've seen out of the last four games, the first four games of his tenure. A lot of small ball stuff. I think the bullpen management, you can really only work with what you got. But your initial reaction to the Derek Shelton firing, and what is your understanding of the players in the clubhouse and how they view Don Kelly?
Yeah, I think they have respect for Don. I think the ones, not all of them do, but I think a number of them know his connection with Jim Leland, and obviously Jim Leland's a Hall of Famer. He's talked about accountability. That's something we'll see when somebody makes a grievous mistake or they go into some kind of losing streak, which hopefully won't happen, but you know it will. Let's see how he handles some of those scenarios. But yeah, I think they like him. I think there are things about the way he's handled things. And look at yesterday, bunting Henry Davis. I mean, I love it. I mean, this is a team that's struggling to score runs, put guys in scoring position, little things like that. This might be a small thing because it did happen under Shelton. But even the first couple of games, I mean, you could hear guys calling for fly balls. Like little stuff like that you like to see with this team because you know if they try to go straight up man against man, like they need other reasons. They need other they need to do all these little things right where other teams might get away with it. They can't. And we've seen that in the first couple of games. And I mean, look at the games they've lost under him. One was an extra innings and one was a walk-off last night.
Jeff, your initial reaction to George Pickens getting traded to the Dallas Cowboys. And do you think that they replenish that spot? Do you think that they sign a Keenan Allen or an Amari Cooper or even trade for another receiver? Or will they just stay with this receiving room how it is?
Yeah, I don't anticipate a trade. I wasn't surprised by George. We had heard a lot of talk even before I left, you know, that wasn't done, even though the draft had passed. And, you know, what we found out really was that they just became at an impasse. You know, one of the things we've discussed is like, how is George going to handle his last season? Is he going to be mature? How is that all going to play out? And what we saw from the Steelers was they didn't think that was going to play out well, and they didn't want that distraction anymore. I think if they add, it'll be before training camp. It may not even be during OTAs or minicamp. I think we're going to see them add probably. I mean, depending on, The wild card for me is Roman Wilson. Does he look like a guy that has gotten it, that can make an impact? And if they do, if he does, maybe they don't make a move. I mean, I think we'll see more towards training camp. They want to get through OTAs and minicamp and see what they've got.
Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. We've been hearing whispers of horror stories now the last week or so about George Pickens, the teammate. And Cabali was on with us yesterday, and he said those in leadership positions in the locker room didn't want to deal with him anymore. And so the way I think this was going to go, if he was sticking around, Jeff, is he might not have done one of those hold-in things or a holdout, perhaps looking for a contract, and then you've got everyone on the team answering questions about George every single day when they don't like him. It just seems like it was an untenable situation.
I think I wouldn't use the word, and you didn't, but I've heard people say, oh, they hated George. They didn't hate George. They were annoyed by George. And it's one thing if a guy is producing consistently and is annoying, like you deal with that. I mean, there are great players that are annoying, but they're great players. He was great occasionally. And I think that stuff just wears on teammates. Not as that that's the ultimate thing, but it just got over time. And even into this offseason, I think that's why they made that decision. So, yeah, I mean, there was the answering questions. There was the, like, being late for practices at times and showing up late for the Christmas Eve or for the Christmas game, like stuff like that. Other guys notice because like they're following all the rules. They're doing all the things they're supposed to do. Why does this guy get special treatment?
Jeff, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign here, and we're on Aaron Rodgers watch again, if you haven't noticed, I mean, he's been, visiting local country clubs here in the Pittsburgh area, we've been told. But if he doesn't end up signing here and it is Mason Rudolph, how much of a chance do you think Will Howard will get? Like, how many opportunities will he get in OTAs, in training camp, in preseason to potentially compete with Mason Rudolph?
Well, first off, I've got a little thing to tell you. Colony was telling me up at Pheasant Ridge he spotted in Malibu. So I'm just saying, I don't know how much Will Howard's going to get. Like, Mason would obviously be the guy. And then it would be Howard battling with Skylar Thompson to be the backup. I want to see him throw. I mean, rookie minicamp, we saw him go, he'd go back to pass, look both ways, and then not throw. And it's like, that's all we got to see. So we didn't get to see a lot of him airing it out. Would he get a chance to be the backup? Potentially, because if it's not Aaron, I don't think they're going to go scrap heaping for another guy. I think they'd be fortunate. They would settle with the guys that they have. And, you know, Morgan, the kid from your neck of the woods, Dorn, who was in for camp, he might be a fourth arm during camp.
Terrific. I know you guys weren't allowed to see a lot at rookie camp, as Cabali so eloquently said yesterday, Jeff. So I'm not putting words in your mouth. It's just what Cabali said. But Caleb Johnson, body watch. I've heard that this man is lean and fairly explosive. Did you notice the same thing?
Agreed. Again, it's these three-quarter speed walkthroughs. But there's also this, like, man, I'm ready to go. Like, let's do it. I'll do anything. Like, it's like the freshman in high school type thing. Like, just wide-eyed. He just wants to make an impact. And it's an interesting room. I don't know if any one of those guys, including Caleb as a rookie, could carry a running back room. But you got options, including Sermon now. I mean, you've got some different guys that, you know, if one of them, if, I think Jalen's your lead. But Gainwell could come in at times. Johnson would come in at times. And Sermon probably is more a guy if there's an injury or you know, for depth. But they at least have some options. We had heard that the Steelers like the running back by committee. Well, this is running back by committee.
Bye-bye, Cordero Patterson.
I think he was a hell of a player. And, man, you guys watched him last year. I mean, he had that one drive against Indianapolis.
He looked great.
Like, time ticked back, and he was this force, and then the injury happened. I mean, he just I would think that there's a cap reason that you're waiting till June. But I just don't see him on this roster. Here's a weird one. You know, the Steelers' last international game against Minnesota, Cordell Patterson played for the Vikings.
Oh, my gosh. We were talking about it yesterday. That was the Le'Veon Bell debut, too.
Mm-hmm.
So how about that, Jeff?
I mean,
and Levi Brown.
Think about that. Think about Matt Cassel threw a couple of touchdowns. The thing I remember about that game was like Adrian Peterson went off. Like, you didn't see rushing games like that against the Steelers, and AP was a man that day.
Ben got sacked and was strip sacked really to end the game. Le'Veon Bell scored an 8-yard touchdown. Now I'm looking at the scoring drive summary because I'm a nerd. Jeff, this was wonderful.
Wasn't Matt Cassel the quarterback for the Vikings, I think?
Matt Cassel was 16 out of 25, 248 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. And like you mentioned, Jeff, Adrian Peterson, 23 carries, 140 and 2 touchdowns.
Oof. You know what I remember about that experience was going to the first news conference, and Ike Taylor's like, man, I want to meet the queen. Like, is she around here? Like,
oh, classic Ike. Jeff, this was wonderful. We're happy to have you back. Thank you.
Good to be back, boys. See you.
Thanks, Jeff.
He looks refreshed.
He does.
Look at all the color in his face.
The Grand Canyon, that's what it does for you. It gives you all those impurities and like all kinds of superpowers.
That's right. My friends went on a road trip that I should have gone on, and I've been kicking myself my entire life since. Bucket list road trip across the country. And they went to the Grand Canyon, and they peed off the side.
Oh.
And I would have loved to do that. Yeah, you got to feel like you're alive, Doran.
I'm sure.
Urinating off
the
Grand
Canyon.
That's
what you want to do when you go to Grand Canyon to pee.
You wouldn't want to pee off the side of the earth?
No.
Texter, as we were talking about the saying, one in the hand is worth two in the bush, they write, one in the hand, two in the bush is from the Bible. One good, well-trained carrier pigeon is worth two random-ass pigeons flying around doing whatever. Yes, that was in Corinthians, I think.
Mm.
I think that was verbatim right there.
Mm.
One well-trained carrier pigeon is worth two random-ass pigeons flying around doing whatever. Was that Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John who wrote it?
Asking me?
I am. Mm. Not familiar with your Bible?
No.